This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. Well, hello. I thought I had to open the show up but the actual host is here now. So what I'm going to do now is just replay his intro, and I'm going to bring him on, and he's going to open up the show.
Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing? We are live, whether you're in Dallas, Texas, Detroit, Michigan, you're in Chicago, you're in Florida, wherever you are, maybe around the world, not just state to state, around the world. Welcome. Normally, this is hosted by Martez Ab. We have made an agreement and made a little arrangement. Once a month, Wrestling Tracks will step in and take over, if you will. So if I would like to pardon Triple H, excuse me, sir. This right here is our takeover. Anyway, Martell, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I feel good. You know, I'm excited. It's a lot of good things in the world to be happy about. You know, I know it's a lot of bad things to be happy about, but I'm choosing to be happy about certain positive things. So I feel good, man. I feel real good.
Right, by the way, if you have not, I don't know why I have never heard of the Bible Experience till just now. Not just now, but I've seen it on the Word Network. I got to talk about that in just a second. I see it on the Word Network. It's cool. I was wanting to get my copy of it. So I was on Audible, and they have it. But the Word Network, they want $100. You ever heard of the Word Network?
Yeah, that's that.
Of course you have.
It's a spiritual network, yeah.
Yeah, I believe there's a station right in your backyard, I believe. That's a studio, I believe.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. So they want $100 for the Bible Experience. I'm on Audible. It's $15-16. Well, you know what's going on. You know which one I'm getting, the Audible. Now, slight problem here, because somebody, either Word Network or Audible, somebody lying.
You think
so? You know
what
I'm saying? I mean, I could save you a whole lot of money. Go to Audible.com, and you can get, if you rather MP3 player or MP3 version, go to Audible.com, download that for $15-16. You can have that forever. Rather than send $100 to the Word Network, get in a 4-disc and be all over the place with it. Because you know dang well us people. Yes, I said it. Us people, let's be real about it. We don't keep things in one place. If you're not, an organization ain't your thing, you're not gonna keep it in the little case it comes with.
So let's, when you say real, us people, who are you talking about, man?
Us African American people. That's what I said. Us African American people. Let's keep it real. When the last time you have bought something and you have it in the case that it came with, huh?
Okay. I guess I'm kind of guilty of that myself. So I don't remember, man. I don't remember.
You buy a bunch of CDs. Most of the time, you can't find the CD it came with, so you go get a CD book and you put it in that. You can't find the original disc it came, the original case it came with. I'm saying my experience. I do this myself.
Okay.
I'm maybe experience. That's, I, that is,
maybe that's all about being a part of the Black experience, you know, being late for things, not keeping track of things, not being planned out properly, not planning things out properly. Right. Maybe that's just.
But anyway, the point I was making is, like, it's cheaper, much cheaper on audible.com. No disrespect to the Word Network, but y'all kind of doing too much. I mean, you want me to spend $100 if I can get four sets, becoming the four, like, you get four, you know what I'm saying? It's the whole thing, but you get four parts of it. So, coming these four different cases, 100 CDs everywhere. For $100, or if that's out your league, like it is mine, $15-$16 audible.com, I keep it forever, never. I'm just saying, but it's worth its value. Audible.com is worth the value. It's the whole thing. It's the actual reading of the Bible in its entirety, word for word, but it's dramatic reading. They got folks like T.D. Jakes in the Eartha Kitt, God bless his soul. You're right in your backyard, Martez. Marvin Winans.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he's still in Detroit. Marvin Winans, T.D. Jakes, Eartha Kitt, Israel Houghton, Samuel L. Jackson, believe it or not. Yes, Samuel L. Jackson's in there. Terry Crews, Kirk Franklin, everybody in there. It's worth the thing. I actually listened to it myself. I wouldn't be promoting them. I didn't do it myself. And I've listened to it. It's his thing. You play it at nighttime. Start in chapter 1 of Genesis. Play it all night. It'll play all day until the morning, until it runs out. So I have it playing right now. It's on. It's going towards, I think it's on Tigers right now. So I've been playing this since last night. So I'm telling you right now, it's great, worth value. And it's a little bit cheaper on Audible. I'm just saying.
So, basically, Audible is the way to go.
Yeah. No disrespect to the Word Network, but y'all, I mean, I'm saying one more thing about it. I'm going to move on to some wrestling. You all heard of Peter Popoff, right?
What about it? Say it again.
You heard of a guy named Peter Popoff. He's a preacher.
No, I never heard of him, but go ahead.
All right, you ever heard of Benny Hinn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly heard of Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically the same thing. Both of them are preachers. This dude here, Peter Popoff, like using miracle oils and miracle water and stuff like that. Benny Hinn don't even do that. I'm just saying. Let's keep. I might get some phone calls and emails later on. I'm just gonna kick out there. Benny Hinn don't even do that stuff. I'm not saying it don't work. All I'm saying is I can put some church in it for just 1 second. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just oil. You can get a Walmart. It's called olive oil. I'm just
right.
saying. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just olive oil. You get a Walmart. Because the Bible said that Paul did use miracles. God did use miracles through Paul. What they would do, they send handkerchiefs, they send napkins, they'll chin, they'll stuff like that to Paul. Paul lay his hands on him, he'll pray over him, send it back to him, they'll use it and it work. Without God, it's just oil you can get at Walmart. That's all I'm saying. So they talk about Peter Popoff. I'm just saying.
So basically you saying that you're not really believing that it's power in that oil. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not there is power. I'm just saying it might not be the person that's promoting the
stuff.
I'm going to say one more thing. Because, like, I had a teacher in third grade. She was a Christian. What she did is we was getting ready for the Iowa test, the leak test. In Baton Rouge, we had the leak test. She called all of us to her little sink. She put olive oil on our hands. She prayed over our hands. Every person in her class passed the test. Every single person.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not saying it don't work. Maybe it's the person, but you know, that's doing the promoting.
See, that's more real. I think that's more believable because if you're not right within yourself with God, with the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say, then I don't think that that oil will work. You know, I feel like you got to be right within God.
I had a teacher, third grade, she was a Christian. And she didn't need to tell nobody she's a Christian, mind you. It just came out. So
yeah.
It was third grade. This is the kind of test where to go to the fourth grade, you got to pass. So everybody, she came to her little kitchen, but she had a sink in her classroom. She poured olive oil on our hands. I'm like, why is she doing this? So she just placed her hands on my hand, just prayed. And everybody in her class, every last one of them, passed.
Wow.
Not one person in the whole class, not one person failed. Not one. You got a whole school of kids, and one class, not one person failed. That's all I'm saying.
I guess we got our answer. I guess it works based on her current relationship with God, I guess. You know?
Definitely.
Or her presence.
Right. That's in the church for this morning, but I will take up an offering later on Cash App. So you can look us up on Wrestling Tracks. I'll take up an offering.
Anyway. Wait. You're trying to take an offering on this wrestling show? Like we in church, man?
Hey, there you go. It's very moving, you know. The Spirit compels you to. I'm just saying. You gotta do it. So if he tells you to, I'm just saying.
I feel you. I'm not mad at you. I'm messing with you.
Like, are you gonna tell God no? Huh?
No, you're not. That's what
God say. Hey, give me some money. I'm just saying. You gonna tell God no? I'm gonna be all right, but I'm just saying. If God told you that,
yeah. But that's what tripped me out about some people. They get so bent out of shape about churches asking for money. Now I get it.
Uh-huh.
Some churches don't do everything right with the money that you are tithing. But come on now, you know we can give to this, we can give to that, we can do this, we can do that with our money. But when it comes down to blessing the church, sometimes I feel like people are just overly mad about that, and I just don't understand.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, I can go on and on about this. I need to get into some wrestling. But I tell you this, one last thing I'm gonna say about this. Now, if you want to use the bathroom, your facility, a church facility, you got to go to the bathroom. You want to use the air conditioner in the summertime, the winter, the heat of time. Every once in a while, you want church to feed you. You got to put some money in.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying. You want to use the facilities of the church every now and then. You want them to feed you from time to time. You want them to put the heat on, the air conditioner on. So I got to pay for that.
You know, unfortunately, you know, those kind of things you need money for. You need money to pay for tissue. You need money to pay for the air condition. You need money to keep the lights and stuff on. You know, and unfortunately, church is a business. It took me a long time to realize that. You know, because
I got people
business,
in my home church right now. Oh yeah, my home church right now, Bethany Church right now. People in the office, not now, but people before the corona. People in the office working. This is a job. This is a business. They working. Planning the service for the week. They doing all this. They working over here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's get to some wrestling. So Extreme Rules is coming up. I believe that's next month. Look at my cheat sheet here. That's next month here. I'll have the full card, but one thing we will have, it's Sasha Banks. She's going to go, and she's going to take on Asuka. And she's looking to become also a Dose champion.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be the third woman to do so, following Becky Lynch, who's a mom right now. So she's sitting this summer out. Becky Lynch is a mom, so she was the first to be a two-belt champion. Becky, two belts. Also, currently, Bayley. And Sasha Banks plans to be the third.
Right.
That's
the number one match I'm looking forward to seeing is that Sasha Banks versus Asuka. I don't know where they're going to go with this, But I hope they allow Sasha to pick up the victory. I think it's been such a long time Sasha Banks has had. It's been since, I want to say, August 2018. And that sounds crazy, but August 2018 was like the last time Sasha Banks had a WWE Women's Championship. And most people will like for you to believe that she didn't have a whole bunch of title runs, but she haven't. So I'm pulling for Sasha Banks. I like Asuka, but I'm pulling for Sasha Banks. So my money is on that matchup Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. Also, we have here Bayley versus Nikki Cross. Let's get a little personal now. Bayley versus Nikki Cross. We got Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. Now, here's the thing. Bray Wyatt went back to the old, that swamp thing. We went back to his roots when he came over here to WWE. I was feeling the theme. You know, now we're gonna take it back home. So it's going to be a swamp fight, a Bray Wyatt swamp. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. And Lee, I love this matchup, man. I love everything about this storyline. You know, I can see Bray Wyatt picking up the victory because I can see Bray Wyatt picking up the victory, and I can see Braun Strowman going back to being a heel. I think Braun Strowman is best when he's a heel, and I would love it for him to team up with Bray Wyatt again to reformulate the Wyatt family.
Well, the problem with that, you're going to need two new guys because the old guys, they're out. Eric Rowan, I ain't seen him since WrestleMania. And, of course, Luke is with AEW.
Right. Yep.
Hey, Lee,
sorry to cut you off. Are you ready to take a phone call or you want to wait a bit?
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
I believe this is my man Jordan calling in. But whenever you're ready, I'll go to him.
All right.
All right, he's on the line right now. Okay.
How you doing, Jordan?
Winnipeg, Manitoba. How's it going, guys? Great to be on the program.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Obviously, as everybody knows, I am live from Studio 998 here in lovely, beautiful Winnipeg, Manitoba. We just had a big, big storm, which is kind of good because it's so hot over here, you can't do anything. But I had the chance to referee, and I'm just trying to do as much podcast as possible until I get to step in the ring and live my dream more. How are you guys doing, though?
I'm good, man. Hey, you wouldn't have, that's the home, if I'm not mistaken, that's the hometown of Jericho.
That is true. Winnipeg, Manitoba is the hometown of many wrestling legends, the likes of Chris Jericho is one of them. Roddy Piper got his start up here in Winnipeg. He's actually born in Winnipeg. There are a lot of guys here that not just were from Winnipeg, but came through Winnipeg and became big stars today. So, you know, it's always good that when I leave in December and I'm in London, Ontario, the train with Tyson Dukes, as the world knows, I'll always have that with me, is that history with Winnipeg wrestling. And that's such an important thing to have to your resume for a wrestling career.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, you mentioned Canada. When I think of wrestling in Canada, one automatically goes to mind. I hate to be that corny. It's the Harts.
Yes, actually, the Hart family is a legendary wrestling family in Canada. I actually had the honor and the privilege to work with Bruce Hart, the brother of Bret Hart, in 2014, and then we did 28 episodes of Heartbeat Radio and Wrestling World 247, and it was another one. There is a secondary show, like a Sunday Night Heat version of their Heartbeat Radio, but I got to work with Bruce Hart for a solid year, and, you know, he's a main guy who trained me for podcasting, helped me develop, and, yeah, not is only the Hart family a legendary wrestling family, but if they see something in you, they're going to invest in you, and they're going to give. And it means a lot to me.
You know, like, I would love to say that if there are wrestling fans who happen to be Canadian, by the way. You don't have to be Canadian, but it's a plus. If you want some pedigree, were down in the Hart House. But unfortunately, that's no longer existent.
No, apparently it isn't no longer existent. It's funny because I told my roommate, shout out to Dre, I gave him a message to check out the Hart House. And apparently... Yeah, it's his name. Not Dr. Dre, but...
I know a Dre. No.
Oh, you know a Dre? No, he's a Dre in Winnipeg, but he... no, basically he went to Calgary and he told me that all the roads changed in Calgary. It's not just changing in Calgary, but like I feel like it's changing altogether. You know, our world is kind of coming before us in a flash. A lot of disasters are happening, so... That's why it's important to, you know, pray, be with your families, and spend as much time with your friends as possible. And enjoy every day that you have that God gives you, because it really is a life is a blessing. And whenever I get to step between those ropes, or whenever I get to talk to you like I'm doing right now, this counts as a show in my resume. And that's why I like to call in, because I love what I do. So it just means the world to me, is that I always look towards tomorrow. And I live in the present. You can't look back in the past. You can't undo what you've done, but you can always look towards the future. And Bruce taught me a lot of that.
Let me ask you something. As a referee, why, I always want to know this. Why every time y'all can't get out the way? Because y'all easily get knocked out every single time. What's up with that?
Well, when it comes to being a referee, I learned a lot of this from AJ Sanchez as well. And this is why I'm going to be doing some more training. I'm not a fully developed ref yet, but I do know my positioning, and I've had veterans tell me that I do know my positioning. What referees usually don't understand is that they're not supposed, they're the authority figure. They're not the focus of the match. They're not the baby face. They're not the heel. So the referee's job, if you're staying out of the way and a wrestler doesn't say anything after a match that you reffed, you did a good job. If you say to a wrestler, how did I do? And they said, I didn't even barely notice you in there. That's good feedback. Your job is to basically stay out of the way, and then when meant to, you show your authority as much as you can. But absolutely, stay out of the way. And what I usually do is I pick a corner, and I slowly work with them. A lot of referees don't hustle. Run in there. If they're going for a lockup and they're doing moves, run around them and make sure you are out of the way as possible. I can't stress that enough when it comes to high-flying matches, too. Where I got in the middle of a tornado DDT. I was literally, AJ Sanchez was going to tornado DDT La Sombra down. This was a show in Flin Flon, Manitoba. But what did I do is I got in the way. So now he didn't perform his tornado DDT and I'm in the middle of it. And I got called F-word idiot. So it was literally, refs, sometimes you can't help but being in the way, but it's definitely avoidable at most times.
All right. Man, because I'm going to say this, I'm going to ask you another question. Because I'm telling you right now, people like, all due respect, by the way, people like Earl Hebner, people like Charles Robinson, especially Earl Hebner, people like, I hate the name drop, but I already did it. Earl Hebner, Charles Robinson, Nick Patrick at his day. Y'all stay out the damn way.
Yeah, I noticed that with them, too, is there's a referee that like to work that close style up and up front with the wrestlers, but you have to have a really big skill level to work like that, and I never really believed in working as much with the wrestlers and being in the way, and I'm sure WWE has told them that many times, because WWE barely gets their referees on camera, so if Robinson gets in the way a lot, maybe it's because he's trying to, you know, kind of, I don't know, actually, but what I've learned is I always just try to stay out of the way and use authority when I need to, and that's what a ref's supposed to do. But I don't see – that's why I like John Cone and Rod Zapata and all those other refs in WWE, because you see them pick a corner and you let them enjoy the match. Charles Robinson, it's almost like he's one of the wrestlers sometimes, but how much involved he gets.
Mm-hmm.
He does need – I don't know as much as Charles Robinson. He's a WWE ref. I just don't personally like that kind of style, and I feel uncomfortable working it. But Charles Robinson is a great referee, but I don't understand that either.
Yes, sir. How many people do you – this is my last question for you. How many people do you have in your ear during the match?
How many people did I have yelling in my ear during a match?
Yeah, like because every referee has the earpiece in his ear. So how many people do you have in your ear during the match?
I never had the earpiece, but what I did have as a referee was one time, actually, this documentary is coming out. I think it's going to be on CBC, or it's going to be somewhere big. It was made by a film studio in Vancouver when I did the Northern Death Tour. And when I was refereeing, I had to wear a microphone, microphone for the trailer and the video. So when the trailer comes out in theaters or whatever at a film festival, I don't know how film works that much, but when this trailer comes out, probably the Vancouver Film Festival, which most likely we'll be at, you're going to hear my audio from me reffing that match and some of the trailer, and then you're going to tease the whole documentary, which is a really cool thing. But that's the only time I ever got to wear a mic in wrestling. But it was a very interesting experience. That was awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for calling, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the airtime.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting closer and closer to Extreme Rules. Unfortunately, no crowds. We have a group of people, NXT folk, who are getting paid to be on the show. That's cool as hell. Martez get paid to be an audience member.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll take that gig any day of the week. You know, you hire me to yell and boo for like 3 hours. I'm good with it.
I wouldn't mind having a seat now and then. They won't let people have a seat.
Yeah,
I can't do that for 3 hours. Not even 2 hours. You know?
You bring up an interesting point, because I don't understand why don't they allow them to sit down. Like, why do they have to stand up?
You know, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons why WWE is essential. Well, Linda McMahon, the company, Linda McMahon's been on WWE. She's a politician now, but she donated some money to the Trump organization. That's why they're doing essential.
Oh, okay. Wow. So
that's why she's donated some money to the Trump organization. And I tell you, like the New York governor said, you play politics with Corona and you lost.
Yeah.
I got to say this. Florida, how much time we got?
We got about 32 minutes.
All right, cool. No time. Florida, they had protests in Florida. The front lawmaker said, well, I shouldn't have to wear a mask. God's mentioned a lot. It's like, I shouldn't have to wear a mask. God breathed out the breath of his breath in the Adam's nostrils and gave him human life. Gave him life. I shouldn't have to wear a mask. Blah, blah, blah. But first of all, God also told you to obey governing authorities. And secondly, if you want to keep enjoying the breath that God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and obviously, I believe in evolution, but I do believe generation to generation. So it was passed down generation to generation. So if you want to enjoy the breath God gave you, you might want to put a mask on and preserve that.
Yeah, that would make
thought,
sense.
Right? If you want to keep enjoying the breath that God gave you to breathe in and out, you might want to keep a mask on, preserve that breath.
I agree with you, man, 100%.
You know, if you think a mask is a problem, I'm just going to say this. Wait till God forbid you miss return of Jesus, and you stuck here for tribulation. And you gotta put a little chip on, and wear the mark of the beast. I'm just saying.
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people they think this is hard times. They think this is the beginning of sorrows. No, you haven't witnessed it yet, because the tribulation is just right around the corner, and the tribulation is going to be, like you said, it's going to be more harsh than this, and the mark of the beast and things of that nature. They people not hip, but I see you hip to it, man.
A lot of people don't want to talk about that. A lot of people don't. Let's be real about it. When you read the Bible, like I told you earlier in our text, some people, parts of the Bible are not going to be thrilling to you. You know, I don't get it. I don't really get a shouting message out of Obadiah. You know what I'm saying? You read the Bible. Some parts you're going to skip.
Exactly.
You know? I'm just putting it out there. Some parts you're going to skip. Other parts, okay. Some parts you're cool with. Some parts, you're pushing it. I know one book definitely entirely you're going to skip Revelation.
Yeah.
not even giving a chance. You're going to skip that whole thing entirely.
You tell the truth, because there are some Bible thumpers that still haven't read Revelation in its entirety. I know. I mean, not just in its entirety.
I know that, but you're saying. It's not John's. John, by the way, all the Revelation, the one who Jesus loves, it's not John's fault. Jesus told John, write down what you see.
Absolutely.
And John, the best he could, write down what he saw. That's the reason why it's so scary. It's not his fault.
And
so
everything.
He saw what he saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're right. He saw what he saw. You know, he was obedient. He wrote what he saw. And everything that's happening right now is going to set up. Is going to set up what's coming next, and that's the mark of the beast, and that's the tribulations. You know, if you're a Bible believer, you know, like, because this is all meant to set that up. You know.
So, by the way, if you think this is rough, you ain't gonna make it. If you think this is rough, it's gonna get worse. Now, I say worse, I don't mean our time now, but what's coming. And it is coming. If it's not, God is a liar.
Yeah.
Either it's not coming or God is a liar. One of the two. And I believe God's not a liar. So it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember, I remember reading, not to switch off Revelations, I was reading Matthew 24, and the disciples asking Jesus, when will we know you're going to return? And Jesus said, I don't even know when I'm returning, but these certain things are going to happen before I come back. I think Jesus was saying that there's going to be rumors of wars. That's happening. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. That's happening. You know, there's going to be so many catastrophes, you know. And that all that stuff is actually happening right now, and it's been happening, you know. So Jesus said in Matthew 24 certain things that were going to happen before he returned, and I'm starting to see that more and more every day. You
know. Oh, yeah. All right. I didn't mean to get churchy, but I just had to get that out there. Now, I would ask you this, Martez. How do you think I hate this so random, but how do you think WWE, she gets to go back to wrestling. By the way, I'm going to say one more thing. Those people who are too religious, too uppity, that wrestling and God got nothing in common, I would suggest you read your Bible.
Ooh.
Because wrestling, for example, God and Jacob, it says right there in the title of the story, Jacob wrestles with God. In the title of the story, first of all, David and Goliath, if you want to call that a fight, whatever you want to call it, David and Goliath. There's a verbal conversation between Leah and Rachel of who's to sleep with Jacob.
Right.
Wrestling was around in Jesus' time. The Greco-Roman style of wrestling, the grappling style of wrestling. Wrestling's been around. In fact, the Egyptians, the Romans, and the Greeks created wrestling. That art of wrestling. So, yeah, open your Bible. Wrestling's all in the Bible. I'm just saying.
Good point.
So, that's what I've been wanting to say that for years. Anyway, how do you think WWE should improve their working relationship with black wrestlers?
That's a hard question for me to answer, man, for so many reasons. Okay, I guess I can start off by saying this. I feel like everybody should be treated equally, you know. So if WWE is not treating their black wrestlers equally as they're treating their other white or Hispanic wrestlers, if they're not treating them fairly, then obviously, yeah, WWE, they need to start treating black wrestlers just the same as they treat all the other wrestlers of other races. So that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. It's real simple. You know, treat everybody equally. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think blacks in WWE will ever get the mega push. They will never get the constant WWE championship title reigns. I don't think that'll ever happen. So that's my two cents on that, bro.
Oh, yeah. Glad you touched on that. Cause I would like to see more black champions. I like to see especially more black WWE champions. I like to see I'm cool with Seth Kofi Kingston getting the title shot. He probably would never get a title shot again, but at least he had one. Took 11 years, at least he had one. I like to see more black WWE champions, people who are deserving of it, like Titus O'Neil, R-Truth. I would recommend Leo Rush. I think he went back to NXT, something like that.
Yeah.
Give us more black champions who look like us.
All right. Well, I can say this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As far as race relations, period, give us a cultural of champions. For example, we never had a Japanese WWE champion. We never had a Native American WWE champion. That you do that, at least we'll be balanced a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I do think Bobby Lashley, he's going to be the next black WWE champion. I think that seems pretty obvious at this point that they're going to give him that belt, give him that championship at some point in 2020. But I don't know, man. I don't think it's gonna happen on a regular basis. I just don't think it, you know. Now they'll give you the tag team championships. They'll let you have the United States championship, but they're not gonna let you have the WWE championship too many times.
You know, I tell you, man, that'd be nice to have an equal mixture. You know, as much as I hate to, it's really hard to defend one Vince McMahon. It's hard to defend that dude sometimes. It's like that dude, you want to hate the hell out of him, but you can't. But he's like that lovable guy you can tolerate, you know?
Right.
It's like, mad you want to be at him. All right, that's Vince. Okay, I'll let that slide. You know. One time, this was live television, this was live pay-per-view, on the record. This was Survivor Series 2005. I want to say 5. Vince McMahon, on the record, live pay-per-view, seeing millions of people. He said, my nigga, on purpose.
Yeah.
Booker T, so I remember having to be standing by. He said, what's up? Vince said, what's up, boss? What's up, my nigga? On purpose. I can understand you slipped. Like, hey, man. I understand you didn't mean to say that. But nah, you purposely planned out your mind. I'm going to say my nigga on pay-per-view.
Exactly. I'm going to try to pull that clip up while you keep talking. I actually got that clip up if you want me to play it.
Go ahead and play that. I believe it was Survivor Series 2005, I want
to
say.
I tried to play it from YouTube, but it didn't say unavailable now. I'm sorry.
Somewhere. Let me see if I can. But I know they got it somewhere.
Yeah, because I heard it.
I would play it from the network. Let's see.
Oh, here. I think I got it.
There it is, right?
You ready?
There.
I got it.
Listen to it, yeah. Listen to this.
What's good in the hood? Hold it down, trying to take care of business. Keep it up, my nigga.
Ah! Right there.
Keep it up, my nigga.
Right there.
What?
Keep it up, my nigga.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Vince purposely in his mind calculated it. Okay, I'm going to say it. Ironically, I know this was a plant or just happened to be here. Ironically, Booker T and Charmel just happened to be in vicinity of that statement.
Right, they were.
I don't know if they just happened to be standing there or he put them there, but he said it.
Nah.
Now, there's some people. You know? Like, some people on this planet, some Caucasian people, that's what we call black famous. You can get away with certain stuff. Like, I wouldn't be too mad if Gary Owens said that. I wouldn't be too mad. He got a black wife. I wouldn't be too mad. I got a black kid. I wouldn't be too mad. That's it. It's called black famous.
Okay, because Gary Owens is in relationship with a black woman, that means he can say it? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. I ain't saying that. I said I wouldn't be mad if he said it.
Oh,
okay, he's black famous. Now, every black person got one white friend, and we call that pass. You got one time to say that word, so you might want to choose carefully.
Right.
There's some white people who think they're hood enough to say that. Eminem, how you doing? Eminem has never said it, but he's like white boy black, you know. But I wouldn't push that too far. Just be careful.
I agree with you.
There's a lot of people on this planet. I'm not a fighter. I don't fight. I can't fight. But I will break your neck. So I wouldn't be so comfortable they said that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I got white friends, and if they ever said, my nigga, on purpose, we're going to have a fight. I'm not a fighter, but I'll break your neck. I watched wrestling for 25 years. Certainly, I learned something in between those times. I can break your neck.
Some people of other races, not just whites. I see Hispanics doing it. I see Arabics doing it. They just get comfortable with you as a person, and then they feel like they can say it. You know, even if they're not your friend, mm-hmm. You know, they think you're cool. You know, a coworker, they think you're cool, and they may say it. You know, so it's just not white people. It's other races that do it. Like I say, the Hispanics. The Arabics do it, you know.
I'll tell you this, man. There's a lot of I got to address the Karens and the Beckys of the world. Karens and the Beckys. Becky will give you too much problem, but Karen though can give you a whole lot of mess. You know, you have to do a problem with Beckys of the world. Last problem I had the Becky. It's a barbecue Becky. Last problem I had of a Becky. But these Karens out here. Y'all lost y'all mind. Barbecue Becky's last time we had to worry about that. Then we went on to Permit Patty. Then we went on to all these people out here. Dude tripping one time because dude was eating, I don't think he was even black. He was a dude eating a burrito on the bus station. Hey, bro, it's a long ride. The sign says no food. There's the problem with that. If it's a long ride, you have to have it on. You got to eat. Be on the give a damn. Go for it.
Right.
But anyway, these Beckys out here, these Karens out here, it'd be so much simpler if you mind your business. Mind your business. Next, I want every Caucasian person listening to this show. I said it. Every Caucasian person who happens to call the police on a black man is doing nothing at all. Next time you pull out your phone and call the popo, think about it. Real hard, think about it. How would this affect me in any way? All right? How would this affect me in any way? If it don't affect you, please, by all means, mind your business. Before you mess around with Al Gore's internet. Mind your business. That's all I'm saying, man. Mind your business or you're going to be Al Gore's internet.
Say, mind your business.
I feel you. In fact, I invite you to mind your business, church. It's real simple. All you got to do is mind your business. services every day. Mind your business. That's all you gotta do.
Simple as that.
Look at all these Karens out here. Becky don't give us that much problems. Oh, yeah, mercy. How much time we got, by the way? Since you're missing.
Got about 14 minutes or so.
All right, I'm going to mess around with this thought for a second. What would have happened if we took, I don't know, let's say the Big Show, and we would put him against Snuka? Who would you say went out of that match?
You mean Jimmy Superfly Snuka? Is that what you said?
Yes, of course.
All right. I'm going to just have to go with Big Show, you know.
Yeah.
Only because
all you gotta do is bam, knock him clean out.
And then if Big Show catch you, it's over with. If he catch you, there's no getting away. So I'm gonna take Big Show.
And Jimmy Superfly Snuka Horn, ECW champion. When I say ECW, I mean like Eastern Championship Wrestling, long before Extreme Championship Wrestling. So he's a former ECW champion. But I wouldn't be so confident in Snuka. I'm just saying.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're going to lose. You're going down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we got. I missed around 14 minutes. Oh, yeah. While I got this time, my plan is to go all out to kick us off. I also want to do a full show to kick us off. So I'm going to mess around with this thing for a couple things for a while. If it sounds random as hell, it is, because I'm just coming up with this stuff on the top of my head. I want to do a show that kicks us off the year. So, we're going to go all the way to the countless down. Martez, you want to have, we're going to have a little game for a little bit. Keep them, fire them, push them. All right? I'm going to give three people to you in the little time we got. Let's say Dolph Ziggler. Let's say Otis. And let's say, who's the least person you're using?
How that work?
Hey, bro. What's his name?
Mojo.
But yeah. Keep him fire and push him. Which one are you doing?
I say keep him. All three of them. If I can break it down by each wrestler, I would like to see Dolph Ziggler get a push. I think Dolph Ziggler has overpaid his dues. You know, Dolph Ziggler, he can still give you a great match. You know, I don't know why WWE continues to tease us with Dolph Ziggler, but never gives him a true championship reign. But I would like to see them push Dolph Ziggler. In regards to Otis,
what about Otis?
Otis, I would say keep him. I'm not ready for no Otis push. I don't think, at least I'm not ready for him to be in a championship picture. I think tag team picture is cool. Maybe United States championship picture is cool. But I'll say just keep him. And Mojo, keep him. I don't care if he gets a push or not, just keep him.
Well, as far as Otis goes, whether people like it or not, he does have, for those who've forgotten, he does have a championship match in the palm of his hand.
He does.
Yeah, you forgot about that, didn't you? Yeah, Otis is the Money in the Bank winner. People forgot about that. Look at you. You forgot about that. Look at yourself. But yeah, Otis is the Money in the Bank winner. He still has that contract.
Yeah.
Now he's messing around with it, but he still has a contract.
Right.
And in my opinion, he should cash in and be a world champion. It might last for a couple of weeks, but go for it.
Yeah. He may cash in on Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman next Sunday. You never know.
He may. Now, I don't think he's going to go down to the swamp and do that, but he might wait till next Friday or something like that. But he has the opportunity in the palm of his hands. I believe their match, Bray and Braun, I believe, is actually at the Swamp. That's going to be the match That's gonna be the dramatic match right there.
Mm. And yeah, let me say this. I love this version of Bray Wyatt. I'm so happy that this version of Bray Wyatt is back. I don't know how long this version will be back, but I'm so happy that he's back. I felt like they never needed to they didn't have to go away from that character, you know, because I always felt like that version of Bray Wyatt was box office. You know, he's always a great promo artist. I'm happy he's back.
Yep. I was there in New Orleans, 2014. I was there when he faced, I believe it was John Cena. I was there. That point of the show, I lost my voice. That point. So I remember being there. I'm like, Zena's going to, I was a betting man. I would bet my money on Bray Wyatt. Zena won.
Yeah, they did Bray Wyatt wrong. Like, they should have had Bray Wyatt beat John Cena that year. It was no reason why John Cena picked up that victory that year. Like, the build-up for that WrestleMania matchup made it seem as if...
Say again? Say again. Hey, Martez, you hear me? Yeah, wait a minute. Hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Martez, you still here? I believe they we got technical problems, I believe. Martez, you hear me? Ah, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna go ahead and tap out here. I believe we have technical problems already. Martez, thank you for having me. They're gonna kick this off in the next 5 minutes anyway. Thank you very much for having me. Join us here next month. Wrestling Tracks will be in the house next month. I believe that will be August, I believe. Our next invasion will be in the house. We'll take over entirely. Martez, thank you for having me, sir. We're going to tap out right here. Thank you for joining us, man, on Wrestling Tracks. Have a great day, everybody. Martez, you here? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to tap out. Thank you for having us. And we'll see you guys next time. I hate to end this like this, but we have no technical connection. So hopefully things get better just a little bit. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful day. I'll see y'all next month. Thank you very much, Martez, for having me. God bless you.